last couple times I've sat in this seat, I've talked about a certain progression of practice. And that place that I'm talking about is the place where we have started to lose the initial kind of doing part of our practice, where we're kind of pushing to bring ourselves to certain things or certain places. And then another place where we let go a little bit, or there's a place of us that lets go and lets the practice kind of work us. So many times we come to practice because we want to feel good. We want to relieve suffering. We want ourselves to find some kind of place to rest, some kind of permanent resting place. And we sometimes have kind of a naive idea that there is a way of reversing the first noble truth, and that everything can be totally smooth and painless in our lives. Ring a bell? Okay. And it's kind of normal. It is kind of a normal way that we start out in this practice. But there's a part of that motivation that means that our egoic wanting is kind of built into the practice. And the ego wants to be happier, wants to minimize its suffering. And it is kind of an important motivation, but it also becomes at some point a limitation. And at some point, we have a little bit of a turning where we start to think everything's okay, just kind of as it is. And things will, there's a certain acceptance that can happen where any moment's okay, the way it is. And we come to a place where, if you want to put a kind of a categorical idea about it, which is sometimes helpful, it's where we want to see what's true. We want to see what's really true here. Not necessarily, you know, what can make me find a more comfortable spot to land. And of course, when you want to see what's true, it also implies that you want to see what's true, what's not true, what parts of ourselves that are still, you know, seeking in a certain way. And again, to put sort of a categorical conception on it, it leads us to another understanding which underlies all of the Buddhist teachings, that the basis for the teachings is the surrender of this small self. And even though the use of that word is kind of problematic too, I'll use that word for the purposes of describing it. So it's the part of us that wants to dominate or blame or be a victim. And there's a need that needs to be surrendered somehow in order to awaken to something deeper. But even saying that is kind of problematic. I mean, who's going to surrender? So there's a paradox there. So the best way I can think of it at the moment is that there can be one motivation to where the meditation can be used in partial support of this small self to control our lives, to make us feel better. And this motivation enhances that doer, that inner doer. And this either or is also not completely accurate because it presents it in the dualistic form. But as well as the words can do, there can be a place in us that just accepts everything the way it is. Well, does that mean accepting something that's lousy that happened to you? Yeah, it does. It means accepting whatever is coming your way without rejecting, accepting, preference, any of those things. And, you know, the true teachings are ways of allowing us to reach that place. So, and here's the paradox again. If you're in the midst of that place of non-doing, then even in the midst of difficult circumstances, there is a place of peace and stillness within that. So it sounds like I'm contradicting what I said at the first, which is a little bit true, because it is practice is a paradox. How can you come with your ordinary traditional self, let's call it, to a practice that wants to get rid of the ordinary traditional self? And so there's a paradox there that somehow this practice allows us to work through. So if there's a motivation to be happy or less stressed or more peaceful, then it's usually that self that's continually looking for some kind of perch to land on that will be, and that seeking self will always be unsatisfied because we know that there is no permanent place to perch. Okay, so what do we do? Are we like that bird that I've heard about where they do that experiment, and it's an experiment on territoriality, and they make the noise of one bird on one side and one on the other, and then the bird moves a little bit when it hears it from this side, moves a little bit when it hears from this side, and then they eventually can get it to be on one leg right in the middle with the noise on either side. That's a little bit what it feels like when I describe, you know, the conundrum, because we're stuck in this kind of circle. So, I'm feeling that stuck place myself right now. There is a place in our meditation where something opens. And some place of holding or stillness is there and available. This is not something that can be created because it's underlying everything, always there. So, and also it's not a place that we can go to because we're already there. So we're back to that paradox, a little bit of that back and forth that language puts us into. So I can think of a direction towards that orientation. Let's say not because you can't go anywhere, but there's a direction towards that orientation, and that direction is towards accepting everything as it is. The meditation that coincides with that is the meditation of choiceless awareness, which we practice in the Sangha, where we just allow each object of meditation to touch us, go through us, affect us, and then disappear from the stillness and then back to it. And I've been talking about this enough, so I feel like I'd like to offer a teaching on this, and then sometime in the next 30 or 60 days I'll offer a half day with the hope of being able to taste this place. Because you have to taste it to really have it make sense to you. Because the words themselves are confusing. And so I hope some of you will join me on that day. And I guess this is a bit of an advertising pitch now that I now that I really hear the whole thing. But I wish you great acceptance in your practice, and may all of our practice benefit all beings. Thank you.